we have to realize when we look at things as common and we treat things as common that God didn't, Jesus didn't. He shed his blood for them. He shed his blood for the body. He shed his blood for the assembling. And the Holy Spirit came to help facilitate that. So y'all turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews 11. That being said, join us for life groups if you're not in one. If you are one, just make room for it. And let God come in and just let it be something glorious. We're going to be in the Passion Translation this morning. And the Lord's had me here recently. And I really am stirred by this. As I said a while ago, there's things that are, I feel coming alive inside of me. And God built us for, God built us for adventure, guys. God, I'm not talking about just physical adventure, because you say, man, that's not my personality, and I don't want to go to Mongolia, and I don't want to do all of this stuff and all that. But God built us for adventure in our faith life, because his Spirit is inside of us, and he has this amazing, ridiculous, adventurous, outside the box, stretching far beyond what we can even imagine for our lives. And he's just waiting for us to make room and to play catch up with that, so he can come in and say, now I can do what I want to do. With our grandkids, we've got, we made this thing. We decided several years ago that when they turned a certain age, it was supposed to be 13, that we were going to do a coming of age trip with them. And it was just going to be one grandchild, the one that turned 13, and me and Lori. And we told them, we said, we'll go anywhere in the world you want to go, and we'll do whatever and all of that stuff. And it meant to be this kind of coming out, this I'm doing this on my own and independence and all that. And, of course, me and Lori, we can't wait. And we're like, oh, heck, we're 13. We're going to do it when they're 12. So Sydney Hannah just turned 11 yesterday. And we're like, all right, girl, we got to start planning your trip and all this. And there's an excitement and an expectation and anticipation from us that we can't wait for them to see this, them to experience maybe some things that we've already experienced, but I can't wait for them to see it. Eric, kind of like you carrying, you and Jess carrying y'all's girls all over the country. We want them to see every 50 state and expose and let them experience stuff. Our Heavenly Father's the same way with us, guys. He has all of the heavens. This is the God that in his mind, he dreamed up all of creation, and he spoke it, and all of it came to existence. And he's sitting there, and he says, I have got a journey that I have planned for Tyler Carter, and I cannot wait for him to get to the place where we can embark on this journey together. That's his mindset. We have this such a skewed view and grew up with such a skewed view of God that he was mad at us. He didn't like us because of our sin nature. He was going to be the great judge, and he was just sitting there waiting for us to mess up so he could whip us back into shape. And he sent Jesus, and he beat the hell out of Jesus in our place because he was so mad at the sin and us and all of that. And in reality, guys, he's a loving father, and he says, I can't wait to do life with you. I sent Jesus so we could do life together. Yes, I had to judge sin. Yes, the blood had to come and wash away the sin. But my anger is not toward you. My heart's towards you. And I can't wait to do this amazing journey, this amazing adventurous life with you. And that's what he's wanting to embark on. And so this morning we're looking in this Hebrews 11, and he gives us all of these examples, and we're going to talk about faith in this, and we're going to talk about some of these different individuals. We're not going to get real far, but we would be here for hours and hours and hours if we went through the whole chapter. But I want to throw one thing out at the beginning as we go through this. Later on, and we won't get there today, but later on in this book of Hebrews, the writer says, all of these people have done all of these amazing things in faith, but it says, but you have a better place than all of them, because you are in my new covenant. You are in my New Testament. You are in redeemed relationship with Jesus Christ and filled with my Spirit. So all of these amazing exploits that we look at, all these amazing things that faith can bring about, he said, you're in a better place than that. We're in a better place than that, guys. We are in a better place than that. you say, man, I can't compare myself to all of these greats, these patriarchs, Abraham and all of these amazing people and all of that stuff. How can I compare? He says you're in a better place than they are. Because the new covenant that we're in, the opportunity that we have through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So I want to just put that as a backdrop on these things that we talk about. So let's dive in. We're going to go until it feels like we need to quit, and then we'll quit and pick us up later on. This is talking about the power of bold faith. In my notes, I always try to put a title on my sermon notes and all that stuff. And the title I put on this is, what is our faith launching us into? And I'm not talking about just faith to be saved, because that is a faith. We have to have faith to be saved. But we also have to have a faith to live. He says, I came not just to give you life, but to give you life more abundantly. And so I believe that so often it takes greater faith to have a faith to live than it does just to have a faith to be saved. Because we think that this faith to be saved is a one-time thing. We come in, we say yes to Jesus, we accept what he did on Calvary's cross, we say yes to his redemption, and then we've got our ticket to heaven, and now we just do life. And then one day it'll get better. One day it'll get better. Because the world's a mess and all of this. And the faith to live his dreams. The faith for his dreams to live through us. And so I put on here, what is our faith launching us into? I've had to ask myself this question a lot lately. And I have to ask you, what is your faith launching you into right now? There have been many seasons in my life where the expectations were so high on what was just right at the precipice that God was about to do and what he was about to embark me on. I go through and I think about all the things that have happened in my life and the expectation on coming down and being saved in my mid-20s. And truly asking Jesus to come into my heart and saying, I want to do life with you, God. I want you to do life in me and through me. And then God just launching us out on this journey into praise and worship. Because, see, when I got saved, when we first started coming in, guys, praise and worship wasn't a thing. There wasn't such a thing as praise and worship. We were there and we saw when praise and worship first started coming in. And God began to introduce this, and we're like, my gosh, you can actually sing to God instead of singing about God. You can actually sing to him and interact with him. You can actually be intimate with him during worship. And so the expectation and anticipation. Randy, you remember the night we were in the Atlantic Civic Center, and I remember you being there. I don't remember who else went. I just remember, I know me, Lori, and our kids, and you and Terry were there. There's a pretty good group of us. And I remember Ron Canole was standing up there. And there was about 5,000 people in that civic center, 4,000 people. And it was about half black and half white. And the Spirit filled that place so strongly. And I remember just being in tears and saying, this is what heaven's like. And he said, absolutely, right now. And it just so wrecked me. It so wrecked me. And I remember they went through and they did the worship that night, and they were actually recording a live album there. And then the guy came up when they were through with the first, you know, their set and did all the songs and all that. He says, hey guys, if it's cool with y'all, we're going to do another take on this because we're recording. We want to be able to piece things together and edit and all of this stuff. And when he did, everybody was like, oh yeah. Because it was so amazing and it was so new and it was so fresh and it was so exciting. And I remember sitting in the upper room in a Church of God's pasture house and saying, I want you to lay hands on me and pray for me that I can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I know there's more. And that sense of expectation, this journey that God was embarking us on. I remember going to my in-laws' lake house, and everybody was so excited about what God was doing, and everybody was wanting to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now we go and play, and we socialize, and we fellowship, and it's fun, and it's fine. But I remember going there, and I remember being in a circle on the floor in the living room with 20 people in anticipation of God, what are you about to do? And praying for more, praying for more, praying for more, praying for more. And we allow it somehow to become common with us. This glorious gospel, this great gospel, this beautiful journey. And we think this, as good as this is, we think this is all there is. And God said, I've got more. I've got more. I've got more than just a the familiar to you now. And I want to take you on this journey. And so I ask myself, what is our faith launching us into? What is my faith right now? Is it radical? What is it launching me into, Randy? Is it launching me into new? Is it launching me into the unknown? Is it launching me into a spiritual adventure? Or is it we're just doing church and we're just, you know why you get bored in your faith? Because you're not doing anything with your faith. You're sitting and you're resting with it. And that's why you get bored with your faith. How many of y'all have ever got bored with your faith? I have. I'll raise my hand straight up. I have. I've gone through seasons of my life where I stood in this pulpit and I faithfully preached the word of God, but I was bored in my faith. And it wasn't God's fault. It was not his fault. It was mine. I was not evolving in pursuit of what he said. I was not making room. And I look at these people in here and I see that they created space. And they said, God, move. And we're talking about Old Testament people, guys. And they said, God, do something significant in my life. Let's just read this scripture. Ask yourself, what is our faith launching us into? And some of you are stepping out and stretching yourself and going to Honduras in a few weeks. I'm excited about that. You know what? I'm every time we go, we do good stuff. We do good work down there. We minister to people. We provide physical needs. We pray for people. We do all of this stuff. We do some really, really, really good work down there. But you know what I am super, super pumped about? I'm super pumped about the people that have never been. And I am going to enjoy. I'm going to enjoy watching Amanda. And so many of the other people that have never been in a third world country and never ministered to people on foreign soil. And I'm going to sit back and just watch God just stir when we go into people's homes distributing food and praying for people and laying hands on people. Marty's like, hey, man, do we want to just have them come to the ministry center and we can distribute food from there and all that? And I'm like, heck no, let's go in their houses. I want to lay hands on people in their houses. I can't wait to see the gospel become alive through their eyes. And the newness and the freshness and the excitement and the expectation and the anticipation and maybe a little bit of the uncertainty and like, am I okay? And is this going to be all right? And all of this. And just seeing God just rush in and saying, this is what you're built for. This is what you're built for. This is what you're built for. KK ain't got it. She had never been before, and she's going, and she's so excited about it. She don't have a clue. She just knows we're going to Honduras to minister to people. And that child's been praying for the people in Honduras for a hot minute. And I can't wait to see through her eyes of this big world that God's opening up on our faith journey. So what's your faith launching you into? Is your faith stretching you? Is it challenging you? Is it a little bit where I'm like, I'm kind of scared because I don't know what all this is going to look like? I'm not talking about mission trip to Honduras. I'm talking about life. That God, you're launching me into this unknown. And I love the explorers. I love the ancient explorers because they didn't know what they were getting into. There was just a drive that was calling them. When they set out and they began to explore trade routes, when Marco Polo began to explore trade routes through China, the Silk Road, he didn't know what he was getting into. There was just this call that said, you know what, the world's bigger than Venice, Italy. And I want to carry you out. When they began to explore the oceans, when Lewis and Clark and Thomas Jefferson sent them out and says, I want you to find a route to the Pacific Ocean. And I don't know what you're going to get into, and I'm going to provide you everything that I can possibly provide for you, but good luck. And God so wants to launch us out, guys. He so wants to send us out into the unknown. He knows, but we don't. But he so wants to send us out into that. And he so wants us to embark. He is a God that wants us to embark on this ridiculously amazing thing. And in that, we're going to come alive and we're going to find out. We'll get this twinkle in our eye. We'll get this look and be, I cannot wait to share this with somebody. I cannot wait to let somebody else experience this because it is the most amazing thing. And so I look in this text and I want to read a few verses. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality. Faith brings our hopes into reality. Faith brings our hopes into reality. This gospel that we embrace and that we receive and we love so much, it's a mystery. And the world can't put science to it. Their science to it. With logic and with reasoning, it doesn't make sense to them. But there is something. See, God created us in His image and God put His Spirit inside of us. So there is something in us that connects and embraces and receives what is unseen and unknown and unnatural to us. It's supernatural, but it's natural to Him. And it's what makes us be moved by the Spirit. It's what stirs us to want more of Him. It's what stirs us to find Him in creation. It's what stirs us to love people and to do good works. And it's this mystery. The writers of the gospel, they say it's a mystery. And it's this beautiful thing called faith. It's what makes me believe when I don't understand. It's what makes me cry. It's just the easiest gentle move of the Holy Spirit. And it's this thing called faith. And it's the thing that is going to fulfill your life. I know we think all these things are going to fulfill our life. If I can make X amount of money, can I tell you that's always a moving target? Can I tell you that's always a moving target? My mom was cleaning out some of my stuff at her house recently, and she found my first W-2 form the first year I was married. Not my first one, but first year I was married. I was 21. Made $17,000. Now, that's way below the poverty line. But at the time, I thought, man, I'm doing it. I'm married. I'm giddy. I'm living in a single wide trailer, but my car is paid for. And it was all I needed. And we put these targets and we put these goals. If I can get a certain house in a certain subdivision, if I can reach status with my job, if I can take certain trips, if I can experience this, and if I can do that. And I want to tell you something, guys, none of it will fulfill you. It's a constant moving target. It's a constantly moving target. Because there is this void and there's this longing that's going to be there for more. It's going to want more. And I'm not even talking in the negative right now. It's just it's not created to fulfill us and sustain us. It's like junk food. I can eat junk food all day long. And I can get gorged on junk food, but it's not going to fulfill me. It's not going to sustain me. And this beautiful mystery of faith, and faith in something that's real, that's the only thing that's going to fulfill us and sustain us. So, you know, though you two song, Bono, I still hadn't found what I'm looking for. I have. And it's the only thing that satisfies my soul. It's the only thing that brings peace. It's the only thing that brings hope. It's the only thing that makes me dream. It's the only thing that gives me that twinkle and that look in my eye. And that's if I'm looking at her, if I'm looking at my children, if I'm looking at the life that God has set before us, the thing that gives that twinkle and that look in the eye is the fact that He's in the middle of all of it. And it's originated by Him. The Word says that He's the author and finisher of our faith. So He originated this thing in us. And so it comes in. And the author of Hebrews says, now faith brings our hopes into reality. It brings our hopes into reality. It becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. So in that first verse, I see two things right here. I said it brings our hopes into a rally. It brings and it becomes. It brings and it becomes. It becomes the foundation. Everything in our life has to be built on our faith, our relationship with Him. Everything in our life with the anticipation and the expectation and the hope that He is not only capable, but He has a heart and a desire to bring all these things to fruition in our life. And it doesn't matter what station we're at. Doesn't matter if we're at the point of, as James was talking about earlier, we're at a point of shame and being beat down and all of these things. Faith that He has a purpose and a plan for me. Faith that He has a future for me. He said it becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. He said it's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. The testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to look at some of these individuals. It says, faith empowers us to see. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. So I want to talk about a few of these words that follow faith in these next few verses. It says, faith moved Abel to choose. It moved Abel to choose a better sacrifice. We know the story of Cain and Abel, and they were two brothers, and they both offered sacrifices to God. Don't forget that. They both offered sacrifices to God. But one was more pleasing to God. One was better. And it said faith was the thing that caused Abel to give a pleasing sacrifice to God. It wasn't logic. It wasn't reasoning. There was something in him. And he says, this will be pleasing to the Lord. And it was the faith sacrifice. I want to tell you something, guys. You can do church and you can offer a Cain offering to God. And you'll wonder why your life's frustrating. You can come and you can offer that. And you can serve. And you can do, and you can be on committees, and you can do charitable works, and you can do all of this stuff. But faith is the thing that's going to move you to a place of offering what's pleasing to Him. Because one thing I found is at the end of it all, He really just wants my heart. And when He captures that, He's got everything. He has got everything when He captures my heart. But that's the one elusive thing that we don't want to give Him all of, because it's been hurt, it's been wounded. Because it's maybe we feel like it's not worthy. And he says, that's the one thing I want. That is the one thing I want. And so it says, by faith, Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice. To where he comes in and he says, without reason, this is just something that just stirs in me, that just moves in me. Me and Lori have developed through the years a real trust in the feeling of the Holy Spirit. You know, we'll say, we'll see how this feels, whatever the opportunity is and all of that stuff. That's my investment strategies. I'll study and I'll research and I'll look at companies and I'll see how they're doing and all of this stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, what does this feel like? What does this feel like? What does the timing feel like? And it's the faith thing that He is what? The foundation that it talked about in verse 1, verse 2 a while ago. It's the foundation. He comes in. And He says, faith moved Abel to choose a more acceptable sacrifice. Let's look on down in verse 5. It said, faith translated Enoch. Faith translated Enoch from his life, and he was taken up into heaven. He had never had to experience death. He just disappeared from this world because God promoted him. I love that. We know the story of Enoch. Enoch didn't face death. Enoch and Elijah are two that did not face death. Both were translated into heaven. And it says he was translated because of faith. His foundation in his life was such that he got to this place where God promoted him. And I love this next phrase, and this has stuck with me before anything in chapter 11 in my recent studies. It said, before he was translated to the heavenly realm, his life had become a pleasure to God. His life had become a pleasure to God. Y'all get the wording in that? His life had become a pleasure to God. It didn't say his life was pleasing to God. Because we could look and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But his life had become a pleasure. God enjoyed Enoch's faith journey. God enjoyed his faith journey. God enjoyed seeing things through the eyes of Enoch. It was pleasurable to God the way that Enoch did life. I told Lori the other day, we were in the kitchen and I was reflecting on this, and I told her the other day, I said, baby, I want our life to be a pleasure to the Lord. When he looks at our life, I want him to say, that's what I had in mind when I created man. I want him to say, that's what I had in mind when I said it's not good for a man to live alone, so I'm going to give him a spouse. And the two shall become one flesh. I want God to say, that's what I had in mind. I want it to be a pleasure to him. And it says Enoch's life was a pleasure to the Lord. A pleasure to the Lord. That takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it? That I'm living my life in such a way that it's a pleasure to him. He lived so close that all of a sudden there wasn't a veil between heaven and earth anymore. And I want to ask you a question, and I have to ask myself the question, how thin is the veil in my life? Am I closer to the things of the world, or am I closer to the heavenly realm? How thin's that veil? How thin's that veil? The Celtic Christians used to talk about the thin veil between heaven and earth. And I want my life to be such. I want this faith journey to be such. I want to be so close to him and so near and so in tune with his will and so moving as he moves that veil becomes indistinguishable. A thinning out. A thinning out. A thinning out. Before a woman or an animal gives birth, you know what has to happen? There has to be their cervix has to thin out. There has to be a thinning out. And once it thins out, then it makes way for something to be birthed. And in order for God to birth these things in our life, you know what has to happen? There has to be a thinning out in the veil between heaven and earth. And as long as we think that heaven is this far-off realm and heaven is this thing that I'll attain one day and I'll be in one day when I die or when the Lord comes back, whichever comes first, and we've used that terminology our whole life, then I'll experience and know him in his fullness and all that. And God says, I want that veil to get so thin that you're living there right now. You say, that sounds weird. That sounds like faith to me. You say, that sounds like a stretch. Who do you think you are? I'm a son of the Most High, and I've got the Spirit living inside of me, just like you. Just like you. So he wants this veil to be so paper thin, Nick, that it gives way for things to be birthed. Because he's wanting to birth new stuff in us. He's wanting new things to come alive in me. I love the fact that my body can create new cells still. It's still constantly creating. I'm not a big scientist, but it's still constantly creating new cells. I'm a 59-year-old man, and my body's still making new stuff. And in my spirit, man, he wants to be continually making new stuff. And so he comes in with this, and the author talks about Enoch. And it said that his life had become a pleasure to God. In verse 6, it says, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. What is a possibility is without having faith living within us. And pleasing him. I didn't word that right at all. What is impossible is us living a life that's pleasing to him without faith. I worded it right that time. Impossible to please him without faith manifesting, being the foundation of who I am. And one thing you'll look, and we won't get into all these because I'm not going to labor you through all of this today, but one thing that you're going to look, some of these acts of faith are an act of faith, and some of them are a commitment to a lifestyle of faith. Some of them are an instant. And that's what it requires sometimes. Sometimes that yes is for a life. Sometimes that yes is for a lifestyle. Sometimes that yes is for a lifetime. Sometimes that yes is for a moment. I look at the woman with the issue of blood. She had faith for a moment. And she came and she touched the hem of his garment. She had faith for a moment. And sometimes that's all that's required in that moment is I'm going to have faith for this one thing in my life. I'm going to have faith that you're going to do something crazy, amazing, God, in this moment. And that's the way it should be when we come in and say, man, I'm about to pray for this person. So you know what? I'm going to have some crazy faith. That God, I believe you're going to touch and I believe you're going to move and I believe you can heal and I believe you can change circumstances. That's having faith for a moment. But I want to tell you, I think it's hard to have faith for a moment until we have the faith as a foundation. So he comes and he says, without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. Then in verse 7, it says, faith opened Noah's heart to receive. You see what I'm doing with all these verses, guys? I'm not teaching every one of these. What I'm doing is coming in and pulling out these words, faith opened Noah's heart to receive. You know what faith will do? It'll open your heart. Faith will open your heart to receive. Faith will open your heart to receive. It'll open your heart to receive. And we are so closed off. We are so shut down because of you fill in the blank, whatever. It could be shame. It could be hurt, pain, all of these things. But we close it down, but it says faith opened Noah's heart to receive. Do you believe that God can start something new? Heck, I'm probably, other than Keith Carter, I'm probably about the oldest guy in here. So I'll pick on Keith. Keith, do you believe God can begin and start something new in you as a, you're 60, about to turn 62? About to turn 62. I thought I had it right. About to turn 62. Do you believe that God can start something new and do a new work in your life as a 62-year-old man? See, that's faith opens the heart to receive. But we come in and you know what we say? I'm done. I'm done pastoring. Heck, I've been doing it 30-something years. I'm done pushing in marriage. I say it all the time, guys. People shut down. They shut down on ministry. They shut down on marriage. They shut down on adventure. I know people my age that look like they are like 20 years older than me. You know why? Because they it's a mindset more than it is a health issue. They say my best years are behind me. I am convinced my best years are in front of me. I have that. You say, man, you're delusional. No, I'm not. I'm convinced my best years are in front of me. And you know what that's doing? That faith is opening my heart, opening my life to receive. And that's what God wants you to do too. You say, well, you know, I don't know about it. Because I hear people and all they want to do is talk about their glory days when they were in high school. Dude, it wasn't that great. I don't care who you were. Wasn't that great? But what we do is we want to live in the past. I don't want my Christian experience to be. I talked about some awesome things, but I don't want my Christian experience to be where I was 30 years ago. That was good, but it pales in comparison. I was giddy and in love when I first got married 37 years ago, but it pales in comparison. Not even close, not even in the same zip code, guys. And we come in and we think, we close our life off and we close our heart off and we close our future off because we said, this is good. I've lived as good as it's going to get. And God says, not so. And Noah came in and it says, faith opened Noah's heart to receive. We jump down in verse 8 and it says, faith motivated Abraham. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory was destined to inherit from God. Let me read that a little bit slower. That's a significant verse. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the what? Familiar. To discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. Leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. Faith motivated Abraham. I've heard this phrase and used this phrase, and I believe this phrase, love looks like something. Would everybody agree with me on that? Love looks like something. If I love people, it's going to look like something. If I love God, it's going to look like something. If I love my wife, it's going to look like something. If I love the body, it's going to look like something. Well, if I have faith, it's going to look like something. Because we can do this. But if I have faith, it's going to look like something. And faith in Abraham's life looked like him. It motivated him to leave the common, to leave the familiar, and say, I am believing God's promises. To discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. That's a mouthful right there. To discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. And I love something I'm about to read here in just a second. It goes on in this verse and it says, Abraham stepped out in faith. He lived by faith. In verse 9, he lived by faith. But then it comes on down and it says, with Isaac and Jacob, who were persuaded that they were also co-heirs of the same promise. See, earlier in verse 8, it says that he was destined to inherit a territory from God. And then you got his son and his grandson, and you know what it says about them? It says they were persuaded that they were also co-heirs of the same promise. You know what's going to separate you from nominal Christianity? It's when you become persuaded that you're a co-heir with Jesus Christ. That is what will separate you from nominal Christianity. Not, I've got my ticket to heaven, thank you Jesus for the cross, and I'm going to heaven one day, but the fact that I am a co-heir with Jesus Christ, and what he walked in, his territory is my territory. Come on, somebody. His territory is my territory. That's what it says about Isaac and Jacob right here. They were persuaded that they were co-heirs. And earlier in the verse it said that he left the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So, Abraham inherited a territory from God, right? Isaac and Jacob were persuaded that they were destined to inherit the exact same territory. You know what my Jesus did? He inherited this from Father God. He inherited this from Father God. The word says that I'm his inheritance. You think he got a bad deal because you were his inheritance. He's thrilled by it. He said, yes, I got Randy Hagin. Y'all remember when we were kids and we used to pick ball teams? You had the first pick? Yes. You were so excited because you picked the best player and you knew who it was and you said, I got Johnny. He's on my team. We used to have a strategy when we coached rec ball, me and Lori did. At that time, Aaliyah and Errol were really good as they were coming through rec ball. Usually they were the best one in the group. It is what it is. No offense to anybody. But you know what we would do? We'd find the second best kid in the same age group that they were in. And I'd go to their dad and I'd say, you want to coach with us? All of a sudden, boom, I had number one pick and the number two pick in the draft. So you know what that meant? We were good. Because we had the first and the second pick. You know what? And here's the cool mindset about this. Is God comes in and he's giddy. He is absolutely giddy because he said, I got the number one pick and that's Jesus. And you know he said who he says the number two pick is? Tyler Carter. They said, woo, we're going to win. Because I got the number one pick and I got the number two pick. I got Nick White. So all of a sudden Nick comes in. He says, that's right, man. It's fun to be on a good team. Because you know who our captain is? Jesus. And I'm persuaded to believe that I'm a co-heir with him. That's the thing. I've been spending 30-something years trying to persuade myself and persuade you guys that you know what? You're co-heirs. You're co-heirs. You're co-heirs with Jesus. And the territory that he inherited is the territory that you inherit. You know what makes you believe that? Faith. Faith. It's real simple. Faith. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it, guys. Dare to believe it. Dare to believe it. And Isaac and Jacob walked in that. Here's the thing is, Jacob wasn't even the firstborn. That would have been his brother Esau. And he received a blessing and he got a portion, but he didn't get the inheritance of the firstborn. Jacob did. You know what God's looking for? God is looking for somebody that is not the most qualified or not the most gifted. God is looking for somebody that's just going to step out in faith. Not somebody that's got the best past. Last week I preached on Ruth. And you know who Ruth was? A Moabite. Had no business being in the lineage of King David. Had no business being in the lineage of God, of Jesus. But God said, here's a woman by faith that says, I'm going where you go and your God will be my God. And I will glean in the field of Boaz. And so you know what happened? God hooked her and Boaz up and she had a son. And he had a son and he had a son. And then David came along. And then 14 generations later, guess who came along? Jesus. And Ruth was not the most qualified. Ruth didn't have the best pedigree. Ruth was a widow woman from a pagan country. But by her faith, you know what qualified her? Her faith. Some of you guys in here, all of us in here, we may think our past has disqualified us. Our present situation may have disqualified us. You know what's going to qualify every one of you guys? You know what's going to qualify every one of us? Is when we by faith say, I believe those promises. I'm persuaded that God loves me that much. If I can do anything, I will facilitate and I will try to help create and cultivate a garden up here that lets every one of those kids know that's in children's church right now that I am immensely loved by God. Tyler, if y'all can facilitate anything with the youth when they come together, is for them to believe that I am immensely loved by God. And he chose me, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And just keep, man, loving it into him. And I started to say pounded it into him, but love it into him, and love it into him, and love it into him, and love it into him. And you know what will happen? They'll become persuaded that there's a territory. It's my inheritance, and it's found in him because it's his territory. That's one thing that excites me. I think I'm going to stop right there. That's one thing that excites me. You know what the Bible says about the world? It says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Right? Can I get a witness, somebody? Some of you preachers? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's his inheritance, right? I mean, he created it, but it's his inheritance also. So if it's his, why is any of it off limits to me? Why do I have to carve out one little small piece of this world and say this is as good as it's going to get? Why can't it be bigger? I want an age of discovery. I want a current age of discovery. But I want it to be a faith, a current age of faith discovery. Where we launch out in faith just to see what God can do, what God will do, what is his heart and his dream to do. And does that include the next generation? Absolutely. Man, that gets the Havens and the Marys and all of them, and I'm excited for that. But I'm not going to kick the can down the road to them. I'll hand you a baton. We'll run. We're in that little sweet spot. Y'all seen relay races? Everybody in here seen a relay race? There's a sweet spot in a relay race where both runners are running. One's carrying a baton and the other one's running the same race, ready to receive the baton. But you know what they're doing? They're getting their timing. They're getting their stride. And where I feel like we are right now is we're in this sweet spot where God's doing some stuff in an older generation. And I'll say that's me, and I'll say that's you guys. That's maybe us, that our kids are grown now. And we're running, and I am not letting go of that baton until I run out of sweet spot. And that sweet spot is a lot longer than you think it is. On a relay, it's a short distance. It's long enough for this person to get their speed. Y'all know what I mean? Y'all seen a relay race? Everybody got, y'all getting it? Y'all getting the imagery? Right now, Errol, you and I are running in the same space. And I'm going to keep running until that sweet spot runs out. And then when it does, then... But you're running in that space too. And here's the beauty of it is your daughters are starting to run in that space as well. Come on, somebody. And I want our faith to be so large. I want our faith to be so pure. My grandkids really think anything's possible. I can tell them the biggest tales and they receive it for truth. Heck, I can do that with Terry Hagen. I always tell her, I say, just say it with confidence, Terry, and people will believe it. Now she questions everything because she know I've been full of BS for so long. Sorry, I just said that in church, didn't I? But I love the word says, unless we come to Jesus as a child, and a child believes all things are possible. And they believe that these people in their life, if they're in a good home, they believe that these people in their life are absolutely just their protector and their lover and all of these things, their provider. And I want us to get childlike again in our faith, to where we come to God and we say, man, I've seen a little bit, but I know there's more out there, and I'm just trusting you for it. I'm thankful for what I've seen, but I know there's more. I know there's more. He says, you doggone straight. I'm just waiting for you to get to the point where we can go on that trip together. So that's where we are this morning, guys. That's where I find myself. And I think that's where I think many of you are today. Is we've allowed good to become common. Instead of saying, this is amazing, God, and now I want more. And we've gotten satisfied in our common complacency. Eric, you just did that backpack elk hunt out in Montana this year. Self-guided. And we're successful this year. It's awesome, man. I'm proud for you. It's an awesome accomplishment. But I guarantee you it stirred in you wanting more. Not talking about bigger horn size. I'm just talking about bigger adventure. Instead of saying, man, I'm okay, check that off my box. It opened up a doorway. It opened up possibility. Just because I go, great. But it opened up possibility to where you can say, wow, really? That was amazing. And if that made me feel like this, and if that stretched me and made me feel alive and made me feel like a, you know, feel like a man and all of this stuff, then there's this thing that's built in us for, okay, now what's next? And if you're built in the nature of Christ, you know what you're built for. Not checking the box, you're built for what's next. That this thing just opened up a doorway. You know what I saw the other day? And I know all you guys did too. The day after the the national championship, and Georgia won the national championship. I'm proud for you guys. You know, I'm not a Georgia fan. I'm proud for you. But you know what I saw the next day? They were already looking at and talking about these guys that were writing articles about the recruiting class and who was coming back, and they're losing these guys, and how strong are they going to be next year, and we might repeat, and all of this stuff and all of that. And it's cool. I like that. You know why? Because they weren't saying, man, we checked the box. Now let's sit on this for 40 years. I wasn't going to say that, but Eric ran out there. They were saying, what is the possibility of next year? And God's done some amazing things in our lives, guys. He has. I was talking about him a while ago. It's been glorious what he's done in my life. But what is the possibility of what's next? Isn't it glorious about the possibility of what's next? We're feeding kids 2 days a week down there. What about an after-school program where we're feeding them 5 days a week? In multiple communities. Why not? Why not? What about a region of people that are so living in the goodness of God? It might look like down there. It might look like right here in Elson County. Why not, Nick? Why not? Faith is the avenue that takes us there. Faith is the avenue that's pleasurable to him and he enjoys faith. So where's your faith launching you right now? What's it launching you into right now? You say, man, I'm just trying to survive. A lady I talked to 3 weeks ago, she told me it was Thanksgiving night 2 years ago. She said, I just tried to survive the night. She said, I wish I'd had some of the high altitude drugs that some of them had, and I didn't have any of them, and I will have them next time to help you on some of that. She said, I was trying to survive the night, but she said, you know what? The next day, I crossed a 19,000 foot pass. You might be in here today and you say, I am just trying to survive today. I'm just trying to survive this thing that I'm going through. I'm just trying to survive the Blake house and make it through this. But tomorrow might be the day you cross the 19,000 foot pass. If we can dare to believe. If we can dare to believe. Y'all stand to your feet. I used to think I knew how to close up stuff, but I don't anymore because I don't know what all God's wanting to do. Every one of these people, it says something a bit different about what their faith did. Some of them, it opened their heart. Some of them, it motivated them. Some of them, it caused them to reason and to believe. Some of them it caused and created a lifestyle, but every one of them it caused something different to happen in their life. And today, I don't know how you are supposed to respond to God's desire for expanding your faith. But whatever that looks like, just say yes to it. Whatever that looks like, just say yes to it. Whatever that looks like, just say yes to it. And I promise you, it will radically change your life and it will radically change your relationship with God. But also, with us being so generational, you know what else it does? It gives your kids permission to do the same. Gives your kids permission to do the same. Gave Isaac permission. Gave Jacob permission. They said, heck, I'm part of that. We always say that when you get married, it quits being about you. And when you have kids, it really quits being about you. Truth is, it's never been about you. It's been about all of this. Yeah. It's however you need to respond, man. Go home this afternoon. Think about it. Meditate on it. Listen to this podcast again. You say, man, I'm there. I heard it. You know, the word and the sermons that impact me the most are the ones that I listen to over and over and over again. I'll listen to them 5 times. And God will keep building on it and building on it and building on it and building on it. The reps you do in practice, you don't do them once and say, we did that. Do them every day. Do them every day. So I love you guys. I hope y'all have an awesome day today. If you are doing, the youth's going to be good tonight. The Ignite's going to be good tonight. And if you're doing life group today or tonight, then, man, jump in. Jump in with your heart and your mind. Say, all right, God, by faith, I'm approaching this by faith and be excited on that. So, Rhett, you want to dismiss us and what you got? Yes, for your taxes. For your taxes. It's your contribution statement for your taxes. Be smart. If it behooves you, itemize. I want y'all to be more blessed so you can bless more people, right? Rhett's got those, so y'all see him. He's the man, all right? Man, let's just dismiss in a word of prayer. Yeah. What you got, Marty? If you're going on the 100th trip in February, we have packing lists. Yes. So if you're going to the Honduras trip, you just come smother Marty and Krista over here, and Krista can take care of that. So yeehaw on that, too, okay? All right. Awesome. Man, great to be in the house. Hey, Eric, why don't you dismiss us in prayer, brother?